Welcome back to another episode of Cone's Corner. Last time we talked to you, Carlos Correa was a Met. Now he's a Twin. Some other small things have happened. They recently signed Tommy Pham. They're in the market for another left-handed reliever. Maybe it's going to be Zach Britton. Maybe it's going to be Andrew Chafin. But I don't know. The Mets are still looking to make some moves. So it's been a little quiet compared to the beginning of the offseason where they were making some big moves. But yeah, it's kind of, other than Correa, it's kind of, this is kind of how we expected it to be at this point of the offseason. But yeah, Elizabeth, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Yeah, I mean, I think it's possible that all of us Mets fans were a little bit spoiled by the barrage of fancy press conferences during that 1 week in December where they introduced like three different people in the same week. And so, you know, it's not going to be like that every week, obviously. So, but look, I know we didn't want to talk about Correa in the entire episode, but let's just start off with that, because as unless you live under a rock, you've probably heard by now that the Mets essentially had the same concerns that the San Francisco Giants did about Correa's ankle. Several weeks of negotiations followed in terms of trying to basically have the amount of guaranteed money and then make the final 6 years of the contract pretty much conditional on Correa passing a physical, I believe, after every season, which is a fairly unconventional tactic. And then he ended up going back to the Twins, who gave him more guaranteed money than the Mets did over 6 years. So, and then they also have some additional like options through the end of their contract where I think he can earn up to $270 million over 10 years, which is pretty similar to the original contract they actually offered him, even though the original contract of 10 years, $285 million, was fully guaranteed. So, you know, it's, I know we were both really excited about the prospect of Correa coming to the Mets. My reaction to this deal falling through was not one of devastation. It wasn't like, I don't know. It was interesting. Not that I just feel like as the weeks passed, I felt less and less confident that the Mets were really that close to getting him. I don't know. Just as like the first couple weeks of January sort of came and went and nothing had happened, I was beginning to feel like they were having second thoughts, similar to how the Giants felt. So I don't know about you, but I wouldn't say I was like relieved when he signed elsewhere, but the saga coming to an end did lift some weight from my shoulders, even though he didn't actually sign with the Mets. So I feel like other people also felt this way, even though like I did want him to sign with the Mets, but I don't know. It's interesting. Like he felt like he would have been a really good addition, but at the end of the day, I still feel like they have a very, very good team without him. I do feel like his bat would have really helped, but I don't know. I don't feel like, I think they already spent so much money and gotten, you know, really good upgrades and also replacements for players that have left that I find it hard to really be that sad about this, given everyone else that they've already signed.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like you said, we were both very excited, and anybody who listened to the last episode knows that we were very excited for Carlos Correa to join the team. But yeah, I mean, it sucks. And again, like you said, as the kind of the time went by, became less and less likely that he was going to sign with us. And I mean, yeah, he's a great player. Like we talked about it a lot last episode. He's an outstanding player, great defender. That would have been awesome to see him playing next to Lindor for the next decade. It would have been great, but he's not a Met. It happened. I mean, they did what they thought was best. It's a little interesting that they used the opinion of the Giants doctor. I know some people said they didn't get other opinions. Other people said they did. I'm sure they got more than just that one opinion. But yeah, the whole situation just sucks. You know, like it's just disappointing. I don't think it's the end of the world. Like you said, we had a great team last year, and I still think they could do a little more. Maybe I heard a report today about maybe them going after Eloy Jimenez, who he's a good hitter, but he can't stay on the field. It seems
he's
the last couple
glass,
of years, but,
unfortunately.
Yeah, but who knows if he could stay healthy, that'd be a good play for them. He's not making a ton of money. He's still going through arbitration. So,
yeah,
I mean, that wouldn't be a horrible move, because Steve Cohen even said, when he was talking to the Post about when they did sign Correa originally, that this was the guy that put them over the top and they needed to do more on the offensive side this offseason. And I mean, now without Correa, it still seems like then if that's what he was saying, then obviously they still need to accomplish.
He must still believe that.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
Though they didn't sign him.
So they're going to, I believe they're still going to make a trade somewhere for somebody maybe with some upside, maybe a hitter we're just not thinking of that's on the market. I mean, Tommy Pham's a good fourth outfielder. People are getting upset about it. I mean, he's not going to play every day, so I don't know why people are freaking out. He'll be fine. People that wanted Andrew McCutchen and then didn't want Pham just from
Well,
a
yeah, that's the
on
thing.
field perspective, they're very similar. They were very similar last season. So like that's not that big of a deal. And I think he'll be a good fourth outfielder. Like every year we've kind of gone into the season with not the best fourth outfield. I mean, Jake Marisnyk, Travis Jankowski, when Dom Smith was pretty much our fourth outfielder a couple years ago to play left field. I mean, it's just not the best options. And Pham can play all right defense. And I mean, it is what it is. Not a huge move. It's not going to do anything for us really, besides give us some depth. But yeah, that's pretty much how I feel. The Correa situation sucks, but you got to move on.
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, I think even just talking about, you were mentioning, I don't think it's official yet, but they apparently are signing Tommy Pham for a 1-year deal for $6 million. And honestly, like, I feel fairly confident in saying I think the main reason people don't like Tommy Pham is because he doesn't have like as good vibes as Andrew McCutchen. Like, I honestly feel that if you just look at his numbers, I don't think people would be that, like, people wouldn't care that much either way. But I think just because some of the ridiculous, like, things he's been involved in last year with, like, the whole, again, this really shouldn't impact. I just think Mets fans are kind of afraid that maybe he's not going to be a good clubhouse guy, which I do admit I don't really like him that much historically. You know, there was the whole incident last year with, like, him slapping Jock Peterson over the fantasy football incident, which is just objectively ridiculous. Like, I mo like 99% of baseball players, like, that it just wouldn't have escalated to that point. So
No.
does that worry me about him, like, being potentially inflammatory? Like, a little. I don't know. Like, it not even just that. I feel like there's been other things over the years with him sort of, I don't know, like, just not being like the most easygoing of people. I admittedly, I don't have like a ton of direct anecdotes to pull, or, you know, things to pull from there, but I just feel like the things I remember reading about him over the years were like not the greatest. So, and I also admit, when the Mets like seemed to have traded for him last year at the deadline for like 10 minutes, and then it turns out they hadn't, I was like terrified thinking they had actually traded like real life people for him. So if they're gonna sign him, at least they didn't have to trade anyone for him. But yeah, I don't think this move, like, I think on paper, it's fine. I honestly think it's more just about people don't want to root for him necessarily because he just seems like kind of a jerk. That's
Yeah, but
honestly.
once he starts doing well or hits a home run, all those people are
For
gonna
sure.
just
No,
forget
I
about
know that.
him.
I'm just trying to think like why people have reacted so strongly to this. And I honestly think that's the main reason, is just like they don't like the vibes that he gives off, which, like, fair, you know, in terms of
But
what he'll
he's been
actually
liked
provide.
places he's been. Like the clubhouses, he's sure opposing players he's had issues with, but in the clubhouses he's been in, I mean, I've been seeing quotes today that like Rays players loved him when he was there. I mean, I remember how upset Blake Snell was when they traded him. And a lot of people liked Tommy Pham when he was in St. Louis. People liked him. I mean, he's had some issues with his vision. I know he's had in the past, so hopefully that's not a problem. But yeah, I mean, from everything I've seen, players that have actually played with the guy seem to like him, and I feel like that should tell you a lot about him. But like I said, he's not really going to move the needle much. He's a fourth outfielder. He's going to play a few times a week and give them depth and hopefully a little bit of pop, which he has. So he's a good
Right.
base runner. He can play fine in the outfield. So I mean, I heard somebody today, and it was Starling Marte. We saw his legs. He can't handle playing every single day. So if you could give him a couple days off here and there, Tommy Pham's more than capable of filling in for him. And you know, Buck Showalter loves to have some versatility and be able to move some guys around. So
Right.
I think it's going to be fine. And for some reason, if he's a horrible clubhouse guy or whatever, and it's not working, Steve Cohen cut Robinson Cano and is paying him how much money. He's not going to care if he has to do the same thing with Tommy Pham, but I doubt it would get to that point. But if it needs to happen, we know he's willing to eat the money. But I think for 6 million, like, it's not a bad deal. What's the downside about it, you know?
Right. And it, yeah, because, like, who are the other options really at this
That's the thing.
point?
At this
I
point,
mean,
on the free
Trey
agent market,
Mancini, what, like,
he wanted to start. Adam Duvall wanted to
that's the
start.
thing. It's
Jerickson
like they're,
Profar,
Trey
who I would
Mancini's
have
not,
liked, wants to
Profar
start,
still
you know?
out there, which I think is surprising. But again, I think you're right. It's like, I think because I mean, look, we all like Mark Hanna. It seems like they're basically counting on Mark Hanna to be the everyday left fielder. Like, they
They
haven't,
should. I don't see
and
why
they
not.
should. I'm saying if they really wanted to, if they were going to sign like Profar or someone, they'd have to basically not, like, they'd have to basically tell Canna, you're not going to play every day. Like,
Yeah, but I
otherwise, the
mean, they
Marte's
could
going to play
have.
every day. Nimmo's going to play every day. So,
Hanna's not out there for his defense, though, you know? Like, he's out there to grind the at bats that he does. And he
right.
doesn't play bad defense, but he's more impactful offensively. So, I mean, if you had to fit him into DH every once in a while, you could move him in Profar around. Profar's played the infield. You could
Right.
put him on
If, yeah.
infield sometimes. You could put McNeil in the outfield. There's a lot of things you could do, but Profar is not going to get the amount of at bats that he would if he signs with another team where he's pretty much guaranteed a
Right.
opening day spot. And who knows how much he wants to move around, do all that stuff, you know?
Right. As attractive as a landing spot as the Mets might be for their, financial, flexibility slash just all the money that Steve Cohen has, you still can't. There's only so many spots on the team, and you're right. I think the lack of a clear need for another starting outfielder has probably hindered some of the deals that they might have wanted to make for some of these other good players that are out there, simply because they're starting caliber players, and the Mets don't have an obvious hole for, like, it's not like if they didn't have, like, Cano was like a 1 year deal and he wasn't back. If they had an obvious hole in left field, I think they would have filled it with someone better than Tommy Pham. But
Oh
because they
yeah, they would
haven't,
have.
they have three guys who played
No,
well
if Cano was
last
gone,
year. Yeah.
Profar might be a good option. He gets on base a
Exactly.
lot. Like they might have gone after him. They would have done something. You know, they would have been more aggressive in some kind of way, getting some player to fill that role, which is the thing that we've talked about a lot with the Steve Cohen Mets, is that they're gonna be there financially. They're gonna fill holes when they have them. You know, like that's never gonna be an issue. But it's good that from this perspective, with I know we're not gonna talk about it much, but the Correa situation, the fact that Steve Cohen's willing to listen to doctors and his baseball people and make a decision like that and not just throw money at somebody, that should make Mets fans feel good in a way, you know, because he's not just spending recklessly. Yeah, he's gonna spend a lot of money, but he's gonna spend it in a smart way. So, I mean, from that point of view, that should, I don't know, give Mets fans a little optimism about the future and his spending. But yeah, since we have Canada, there's not a need to go get another outfielder that needs to play all the time. Tommy Pham knows what he is at this point of his career. He's a fourth outfielder, so I think he'll be a really good fourth outfielder, and that's all we need him to be.
Right. And I mean, if you think about it, last year, who was the fourth outfielder to start the year? Travis
Jankowski.
Jankowski. I mean, look,
He's fast,
he's
but
fast. I mean, is Pham fast enough to, like, pinch run?
maybe. I mean, he's a good base runner. I wouldn't call him super fast.
Right.
I remember in like his prime years with the Cardinals and the Rays, he was stealing like 20 bases.
He
So he
had
can do
two
it.
2020 seasons in, I
Yeah,
think,
so he can do it.
2017 and 2019.
But he doesn't have the speed Jankowski has, which is valuable. But that's why they also picked up a guy last week, Tim LaCastro, who's pretty much like a Terrence Gore that can
Yep.
hit better than Terrence Gore and can play the field better. So, I mean, you have a guy like him as depth to have in AAA and call up in
Yep.
a pinch. He's better than Travis Jankowski. And I think the fact that he's not even going to be your fourth outfielder, he's probably going to start the year in AAA or be at the very end of your bench. Like, that's another depth signing. Like, these are the kind of signings that help you win, you know, that don't get all the headlines, but that are necessary in the middle of the season. When you saw last year, we had some injuries and we relied on guys like Nick Plummer at one point, who guys stepped up, don't get me wrong, but to have a more reliable option to call upon, I think that's going to be a big deal.
Right. And I also think, especially now that it seems like some combination of Escobar and Beatty, they're, but when they had originally signed Correa, I was like, all right, I guess Beatty should learn the outfield. But now I'm like, all right, he should focus on third base because they actually, I think they're going to, I mean, who knows? I don't know. I guess between him or Alvarez, I don't know if both are necessarily going to be on the opening day roster. I'd have to think, honestly, Beatty has a better chance at this point than Alvarez just because. Based on what I've read recently, it seems like they maybe want Alvarez to get some more catching experience at AAA, which is understandable. They don't want Alvarez to be on the team and, like, barely catch is what seems to be the thinking, which is why they have Narvaez.
Especially
So,
early in the
yeah,
season. Like
that's, I
last year,
mean,
late in the
yeah.
year, very late. They called him up, obviously, like very, very late, probably
After the minor league
too late.
season was
Yeah,
over,
probably
that's,
too late they called him up. But in a
yeah.
situation where they just need his bat, that makes sense. But over the long haul of a season where you're hoping by mid to end of the year that he's your guy and he's your guy going forward in the future, you want to make sure he gets as much development as he can, you know? So if it's not a huge need, especially since they brought up Narvaez, and they'll see, like if they're getting like horrible production out of the catching spot, which they pretty much did offensively last year. Love Nito, but he's not a juggernaut at the plate. Like if they see that need, they'll call him up. But unless he tears the cover off the ball in the spring, I don't really expect him to be on the opening day roster.
Right.
But
I
if he
wouldn't.
is, then good for him. But yeah,
Yeah.
I agree with you that Beatty probably has a better chance. We just need to see. I want to see Beatty play a lot in spring training. Like I think they need to give him a lot of run. I want to see him play more defense. Like I think that'll help him a lot. Out of all the people for the Mets this spring. I want Brett Beatty to be getting the most innings and most reps. I think that would really be big for him.
And I think he's going to, because pretty much the entire Mets starting infield is going to be playing in the WBC. So in terms of like Alonso, Lindor, I think Escobar, I forget.
Where's Escobar from? Venezuela? Is that wrong?
I think so. But playing? I think I'm pretty sure he's in the WBC. And I think McNeil is also.
McNeil's filling in now. Yeah, for Trevor Story. So.
Yeah, exactly. So I have to think when, you know, they're there, I think Beatty's going to be at third base like every game. And you're right. I am very curious to see. I want to see what he could do. I mean, you know, obviously the Mets are going to want to field the best team possible, but I would love to see what Beatty could do with just like 3 weeks or a month even to start the season playing a lot of third base. Like, because that's the one thing. He saw a huge difference between like the 2 weeks he played at third versus when Escobar came back. His defense definitely looked shaky to me. And not that he made tons of errors, but you just see a big difference in the sure-handedness of him versus Escobar. When Escobar came back, like, it was just like very noticeable. So
yeah.
But the thing is, a lot of people really believe in Beatty. He's a top 20 prospect in baseball. So I have to think, and I hope now with Correa clearly out of the picture, I hope they give him a real, if they really think he's good enough to be on the team to start the year, I hope they give him a real chance at third to see early in the season. See how it goes. You know, I mean, the games in April count the same as in September, but you never know. All other teams bring up rookies that end up doing great all the time. So I hope they give him a real chance to actually like play a lot of third and see what they have in him. And yeah, that's the thing too with Alvarez. Let's not forget, like, he was ranked at the end of last year the number one prospect in all of baseball.
He still is.
And he's like 21 still. So the Mets clearly are thinking long term with him in terms of they want to, you know, bring him along the best way that they can. And so look, it would be great if he, like, from a fan's perspective, if he's on the opening day roster. But if I don't know. I mean, the thing is, his one thing the Mets didn't really have last year was significant contributions from rookies. And so I think this year, honestly, in order to really like take an offensive step forward, even from last year, I think they're going to have to get some significant contributions from some combo of Beatty and Alvarez, just because.
And Vientos, too. Let's not
and
forget about
and
him.
Vientos, that's right. Because, I mean, he's definitely, you know, at this point, Darren Ruff is still on the roster, although I find it hard to believe that he'll actually be on the team next year. I don't know. Maybe he will be. But they're going to have to see, you know, who they have that can be a DH against righties, because it seems a DH against lefties, excuse me. Because
I think it's going
like
to be Pham, honestly, at this point. He hit lefties pretty well last year. I mean, just with the way the roster is constructed now. Or, I mean, it depends. If Beatty's really playing well and can proves he can hit lefties, then Escobar is definitely got to be a right-handed DH, because obviously Escobar didn't have the year we were all expecting last year, but from the right-handed side, pretty much the entire season, he was really good. And I mean, he was really good from both sides of the plate in September. And that's the thing. If you're going to get the production from Escobar, even close to what he was giving you down the stretch of the season, there's no reason that Escobar's not your everyday third baseman. You know, like, they could figure out something with Beatty. Or at least Escobar's got to have pretty much every day at bats, you know?
Right.
Because he's a really valuable player. Like, remember how excited we were last year when they signed Eduardo Escobar? And he's a solid everyday player. He's been around for a long time. He's a veteran. Everyone loves him in the clubhouse. And if he could just, like I said, if he can come close to what he was doing down the stretch last year, they got to find bats for him as much as possible.
Oh, for sure.
That's
for
a
sure.
big weapon in the middle of your lineup for sure.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. It depends. Are they going to have Beatty DH sometimes and with Escobar at third? I mean, it's going to be interesting rotation, because
defensively, that's what you want.
Right. Like, because, yeah, that's the thing. It's like Escobar is like, he's good at third base. It's not like he's a liability.
He's above average. No, no, he's
it's
really
not
good.
Like, he's a liability, at least to the naked eye. I'm not sure exactly what.
No, he's good. I mean, anything he gets to, I mean, his range may not be outstanding, and it's okay, but he's anything he gets to. I mean, he was really shorthanded last year. I liked watching him play third. I just,
yeah,
even when he was struggling, though, he seemed like a great teammate, and he was always, his hitting never affected his fielding, you know, like, he was always solid at third base. And then it was really nice to see him really put it together at the end of the season.
He
was
a
beast.
He was
in
amazing
September.
In September. Incredible.
So, I mean, if he could just be 75% of that, mean, that's close to all-star level. So, I mean, he's got to play. That's what they signed him to do, is to be their third baseman. And he wasn't as awful as people make him seem last year. Like, he wasn't what we were expecting, obviously.
I think just most of the year, he wasn't that good at the
No, and it
plate.
seemed
Like,
like
he
in big
wasn't.
situations, he
Let's
wasn't
not
coming through.
pretend.
But
He
no,
had
he
home
wasn't
runs
that
and
good.
hits here and
Yeah,
there.
especially from the left side, he wasn't good. But like I said, he was always pretty decent from the right side all year. So that's the thing. If you're gonna have that combo with Beatty hitting from the left and Escobar, if you're only gonna try to limit him to right-handed at bats, but there's a lot of options. Like we said, Vientos or Ruff. Yeah, I'd be
I
very
mean, at that
surprised if
point,
Darren Ruff's on the roster.
I'd rather just see what you have in Vientos at that point,
Yeah.
especially if you already have Pham to be another outfielder. They don't, I mean, I don't know. I was
Vientos
sort
is
of,
only going to DH. Like, there's nowhere to really put him. I could see out of everybody getting traded, Vientos, you know?
I mean, do they trade him for Eloy Jimenez?
I saw him and Vientos in a little more of my take. And honestly, I think I would do that. Because if you're going on upside, Eloy Jimenez could be really good. Like, he's a really good hitter. So I know it's just injuries, but
Isn't he like,
he's still young.
is he really an outfielder though? Jimenez?
No, but he could
He's not
DH. You don't
very good
really, you don't
defensively.
really. No, but you don't need him. He's not gonna play the
Yeah.
outfield. So I mean,
Yeah.
he can sparingly, but
Yeah. In a
he
pinch.
would be for that lineup. If he was your right-handed DH, and he was, even if
And
he
he's
gave you like
actually healthy.
125, 130 games, you got out of him. The rest you could figure out at DH. But
Right.
I would be I think that'd be a big boost to this lineup. It's
Yeah.
gonna be somebody like that they're gonna acquire, and I think they're gonna get somebody. It's kind of similar to last year. Everyone's like, oh, they need one more starter. There's got to be somebody on the trade market, and they went out and got Chris Bassett. So I think that it could
Who
be
was
something
basically
similar.
exactly what they needed
Yeah, so that's what I'm
for the
saying.
whole
I mean,
season. Yeah.
they're not gonna let them hold. They're not gonna let the DH position hold them back, I don't think, or just another offensive weapon hold them back. If that's what Steve Cohen, he said, that's what they need. So if he
Right.
knows it, why wouldn't they go out and get something, or at least, you know, try?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I guess we'll see. Yeah, there's a lot of kind of moving parts. There's a lot of platoon capabilities, which, you know, Buck is a fan of, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Like, I mean, they still have Vogelback, who I'm presuming they're going to be having DH a lot against
Yeah.
righties. So that'll be interesting. That's the thing with him. I mean, he sort of developed into a fan favorite. The only thing is he really isn't that versatile in terms of like, I guess he backs up at first. Because now I'm thinking, like, who's Alonso's?
He's the least versatile player on the team
Right. Which, yeah. So
by far.
I just think they can only be so many of those types on the team. There can only be like Vientos, basically just a DH.
But Vientos in a
You
pinch, you
know,
definitely could play at first as a
yeah, that's true.
or third. Like but he'd be much better in the field than Dan Vogelbach, you know?
I guess, yeah, that's the thing. You can only have so many of those players on the team who can sort of only do one
Yeah, because
thing,
it handcuffs you.
because then everyone else has to, you know, there's not as much flexibility.
That
So.
was a big strength of the Mets last year, moving guys around, whether it was McNeil,
Right.
Guillorme got some at bats because he
Oh,
moved
Guillorme. I
around.
like forgot about Guillorme. Not that I
Yeah,
forgot about him, but
Guillorme.
like he's gonna be on the team too,
But
as
that's
like
what's good
the
about the
backup
team, and
infielder.
he's
Yeah.
a good hitter, but he's probably best not playing every day. Like, if you could get him in 3 days a week, you know,
Yeah.
and you know, guys are gonna get hurt. He's gonna get his chance to play somewhere because he can play all over, you know, but he's having Guillorme just to pull off the bench late in games for defense. That's a big thing, you know.
Right. And yeah, I mean, let's be real. Like, he can hit. He's an opposite field singles hitter. So
Yeah, but
he's not,
sometimes that's all they need.
but
Remember
sometimes that's
that
all you
stretch he went
need.
on last year?
Yeah.
He was hitting really well.
No, I mean, I've got nothing against that. But yeah, it'll be like, again, slotting people. Yeah, because you're right. I feel like the Mets have a lot of players who, like, either, I mean, I guess all teams have this, but, you know, hit, but like, defense is not really great, or they basically just play defense and like their bat's not really that good. So, but again, last year for the most part, it seemed to kind of work out lineup wise. So I think it's interesting because they basically have the tier of like the everyday. I feel like they have a very distinct group of like everyday players and then like people who swap in and out. So it'll be interesting to see kind of the concoction of, I feel like the top half of the lineup and like the number nine spot will be the same. Give if everyone's
Yeah.
healthy, and then
Yep.
like 6, 7, 8 is where it's gonna like fluctuate because I'm guessing whoever's catching will always be batting ninth, probably, and then they'll have
Till
like
Alvarez is ready.
right, and then they'll
Although Omar
probably
Narvaez in his career has had a couple good offensive seasons. So I mean, if they could catch lightning in a bottle with him, you never know. He could maybe hit Seventh or
Right.
eighth grade.
Unfortunately, last year he really wasn't very good
No.
offensively. I mean, slightly better than McCann, but not that much better, to be honest. So yeah, we'll
Yeah.
see. We'll see what they have with him.
It's going to be interesting when Alvarez is ready to see what their plan is, you know, with three catchers. Because if Alvarez is ready and they're going to call him up, he's going to be playing most of the time. They're not going to call him up just to sit on the bench, you know. And like you said, it doesn't seem like they really are that interested in making him a, like, pretty much just full-time DH because they want to develop his catching. But once they do, he's going to be up at some point. Like, it's obvious that at some point, unless something goes horribly wrong or he gets hurt, he's going to be the Mets catcher at some point during the season. So they're not going to want to just play him a few times a week. Like, they're going to be playing him a lot, as much as you can play a starting catcher. You know what I'm saying? So it'll be interesting when they have him, Nito, and Narvaez to see kind of how they do that.
Right. And then I think that lends it, we were talking about seeing Beatty in spring training. It'll be interesting to see, I'm guessing, hopefully, Alvarez, because he plays a lot in spring training. I don't think
You
he's,
should.
I don't, be, well, because again, the thing is with, like, no offense to Nito, but like, they know what he, they don't really need to see that much of him in spring. Like,
No.
they know what he is. And Narvaez, he's new, so he's going to be playing sometime in spring training. But I'd have to think, hopefully Alvarez can catch like half the innings in spring, just to
Yeah,
like
it'd be
see.
nice.
It's,
Like we were saying, same situation with Beatty, the two of them, they need to play.
yeah. In some ways, I love the everyday players, obviously, that are unfortunately not going to be in spring training, but I'm actually kind of excited to see what the spring training games consist of without all those guys, because
Yeah.
it's like, it'll be, that's why in some ways I like watching spring training games when they don't matter, because you can just kind of relax and like see, like evaluate the players individually, and the result really doesn't matter. Whereas during the season, ultimately the result is what matters. But it's like in spring training, almost individual stats, it's like the reverse. Individual stats and performances are really the only thing that matters in spring because of how, the lineups and people are rotated, and like, players only play three innings or blah, blah, blah. So I'm kind of excited to see what like the all prospect lineup consists of in spring training when
Yeah,
like
it'll be
a
fun to
lot of the
watch.
everyday players aren't there.
Yep.
And it's gonna be like, because Justin Verlander, he's not doing the WBC, right? I don't
Not
think
that
so.
I've seen,
It'll be
no.
like Justin Verlander, Max Scherzer, and like a bunch of 20-year-olds in spring training. And like, I'm kind of, whatever that is, I'm like, and Kodai
Yeah.
Senga. I'm kind of excited for like
Senga's
whatever
probably,
that.
is Senga playing for Japan or no?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I'll
Okay.
look it up and get back to you, but I don't think he is. Or
That'd
I
be
think
good for
now that
the
he
Mets.
signed with an MLB team, I don't think he
Yeah,
is.
that'd be good if he doesn't. But yeah, I don't know. And I want to see a lot of Ronnie Mauricio, especially with Lindor going to be gone. Let him play short all the time. Let's see what he can do.
Right, exactly. No, but this is the opportunity, interestingly, that I feel like the WBC will give the Mets in particular, because they have so many of these prospects who are like budding and like on the edge. But
Yeah.
luckily the Mets have a lot of really good players at the major league level. That's, they're not, not all these guys are going to have a spot to play, really, just with the caliber of players that they have on the major league roster, many of whom are signed for several years. So I'm kind of excited. Whatever these spring training games consist of, whether it's like a Beatty, Alvarez, Mauricio, Vientos, whatever, I'm kind of excited to see like, 2 weeks of that and just like see how they do.
Yeah, for
Because it won't
sure.
matter. It'll be like Justin Verlander, Max Scherzer, and then like the kids. So
Yeah, which is
whatever
good. I
that's.
mean, that's two great guys to learn from, even
Right,
as hitters,
exactly.
just on how to be a professional, you know?
Yeah, I'm excited for that. And that's the thing. I was already saying this, but like, I look forward to spring training games so much, because like, yes, at a certain point I'm excited just for the regular season, but in some ways, like, not having the adrenaline of the regular season and still being able to watch baseball is kind of nice, because it's like, like I can watch the Mets, but
Rising.
like
Yeah.
it doesn't matter. Like that kind of is freeing, at least for me, who, once the season starts and like things get going, I start like really caring about the results, as everyone does. So,
It's what spring training is all about. The easygoing, you know, nature of it.
right. Have you've been to spring training, right?
Yeah, me and my parents used to go every year. Probably we went probably like 6, 7 years in a row. It's a lot of fun, especially
Yeah.
like for kids because the players are so accessible in Port St. Lucie. I don't know about other places, but in Port St. Lucie, especially because there's not that many like restaurants for them to go to all whatever. So you see them out all the time. So that was really cool. But
Yeah.
the games are so cheap. You can sit close. It's so relaxing. It's the Florida weather. So it's a really good, I'm sure it's, I haven't been there as an adult. So I don't know. I'm sure
I've
it's
only
just
been
as fun
once.
now.
Well, I was thinking
So.
originally, I was thinking like this would be a good year to go, but then I was like, oh, maybe not because of the WBC. So I'm like, I'm eyeing maybe next year I'll try and go
Yeah,
back.
that's smart.
But
The best time to go, we would go to is like whenever we did it, we go at the end of spring training, usually at the very end of it, because the players are playing. Like we would go the last week, the players are like really getting ready for the regular season, so they'd at least play pretty much like 6, 7 innings, you know? Because if you go early, they take in a bat or two and they're done, no matter when it is, you know?
Yeah,
So.
exactly. Well, again, like we were saying, because ultimately, it's great that Lindor is getting like two at bats, but spring training for a lot of players is a chance to prove themselves. For guys like Lindor, Alonso, who at this point, they're not like earning a spot, but it's interesting to see, like there's all different levels. Some players are just kind of getting ready and then getting their work in, and you pretty much know they're going to be fine and they'll be good during the season. But then for a lot of players, the spring training is like really important. I mean, we saw in 2019 when like it was like Pete versus Dom for like playing first base, and then Pete had an amazing spring training and ended up making the team as the first baseman. So it's interesting to see kind of the what real world impact it does have for a lot of people based on how they do. The games matter for the younger players especially,
They
and also
don't.
for like older players too, who sometimes players get like the non roster invites or like minor league signings with a major league spring training invite. I don't know if the Mets have any of those players.
They have a couple I've seen. I forget
There's
who,
a
but
couple of
I
pitchers, I
know I,
think.
yeah, a couple, like a month ago I saw they had a couple. But I mean they've found some gems in recent years with some I mean Jason Shreve was good, I know only for a little bit last year, but he was one of those guys and he was pretty good for them.
I remember
So they did.
remember Colin Holderman was like really good in spring training and then ended
Yeah.
up like making the team, or they called him up, or I forget if he made the team out of spring training. But
Yeah,
I
I
just
think he
remember
did.
being
And they
impressed with
traded
him
him.
in spring, and I was like, this guy needs to like make the
Yeah.
team as now
Sucks
he's on
they
the
traded
Pirates.
him. I know. But
But
he got hurt, but
yeah, he did. He did.
I
I don't
think
think he
he's gonna
played.
be good.
He
No,
didn't play
pretty much
well the
after
second
the
half.
trade he played for like a month or two and then he got hurt. Maybe not
But
even, but
anyway, before we wrap up today, well, I know we talked a little bit about this earlier, but I guess we could go back to one area that you can sort of never have too many options is the bullpen, as we've discussed multiple times. And the Mets, since re-signing Adam Ottavino, haven't, which I think was a fantastic, I forget if we talked about this last time, but I'm so glad they did that because he was great last year. But they haven't really done any kind of other major bullpen signings since then, other than here and there a couple of like fringe kind of waiver claim kind of guys who you have to figure there's probably at least one or two bullpen spots that are going to go to some of the random people they've signed over the last few months that we barely talked about. Because again, that's how a lot of teams end up kind of constructing a bullpen. But we do still feel like there could be room for one or two more arms. I do find it interesting, actually, the fact that Andrew Chafin is still out there. Like, that does kind of puzzle me, just because don't you think every team could use a lefty reliever? Like,
yeah, and we've
I
been
mean,
wanting him
I
for a
honestly
couple
kind of,
years now.
why is he not signed yet? Like,
I don't know. Yeah, it's
are they asking for
interesting.
a ton?
He's probably the best, one of the best free agents left,
It's
like
kind of
out of
bizarre to me,
anyone.
actually.
But yeah, so I saw that they're in on him. They're in on Zach Britton, who obviously has a connection with Buck from their Orioles days. And I think Britton would be a great bounce back candidate. He was just coming back from Tommy John last year, so it was hard for him to kind of get going that late in the season when he came back. I think it was like August, September when he came back. So,
He's barely pitched basically
yeah,
in the
but I
last few
think he would be
years.
a great bounce back candidate. He's nasty when he's right. So, I mean, if you could get him on the cheap and he turns out to return to even close to his old form, that would be huge. I mean, him and having him and Brooks Raley, people forget we got Brooks Raley earlier in the offseason, and he could be really good too. So, I mean, the two of them together, if you could have two dominant lefties, so whether they got Britton or Chafin, I would be happy with either. Obviously,
Chafin's more of a sure thing,
Chafin's floor is probably
for right
higher, but
now.
I would argue that Britton has a higher ceiling than Chafin does. But it's definitely more of a surefire bet get going and getting Chafin, but it's definitely going to cost you more than it would if you were just kind of taking a gamble on Britton. But if his connection with Buck kind of can draw him here and they can get him on a cheap deal, like I said, I think that would be a great way to go.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the interesting thing is like Britain has had a great career overall. He was really excellent for the Yankees for a couple of years ago before he had Tommy John. And Yeah, that's the only thing is like you just wonder. I think if they signed Zach Britton, I just really wouldn't rely on him that much just because they're I'm not sure really how stable he is coming back from the injury. I mean, again, he has had a track record of success, but I think he sort of got injured again like as soon as he came back last year with like a different thing. So I don't know if I don't know. I think he just has to prove he's healthy, basically, for whatever
Yeah.
team he signs with. So,
And they already
like,
have great depth in that bullpen already,
the
so I mean,
name
it's not like you
sounds
need
good.
him.
I don't know if I just wonder if he's like a little fragile for what they might be looking for. But, you know, anyone can get injured anytime. I just feel like that would be more of a gamble for me. Yes, he probably technically is better, but I just don't know if Zach Britton right now is would help them that much. But I mean, if he's healthy, he would.
If
I
he's
just don't know.
healthy, it
It's
would help him a
uncertain. It's a
lot,
little
but it's just,
uncertain.
yeah, it's definitely uncertain. It's a gamble. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It's definitely a gamble, but the risk and reward, like, I mean, if it's going to be a really cheap deal with, like, say, it's just a deal with incentives, I mean,
Why not?
I think
Yeah.
it's a no-brainer. I mean, people are saying you could go get both of them, and you could, because if you're just getting Britton for cheap and he turns out not to work out, okay, he's not making anything. Goodbye. But I don't. He's proved he can pitch in New York. It takes time to come back from Tommy John. We've seen it with how many pitchers that they lose their command, that it takes them some time to kind of get back into the swing of things. And he didn't have much of a chance. He was thrown into the fire of a pennant race in at the end of the season, you know, and he just didn't have it yet. So whether it was he rushed back, who knows? But I mean, they got it. I think it would be a really good gamble to take. And like I said, we know he can pitch in New York. I'm sure he wants to be on a winner at this point in his career. But I mean, we've been clamoring for Chafin since the trade deadline last year in 2021. So, I obviously I'd be very happy with that as well. I just don't know what that would cost, and I'm sure Chafin has a wider market than
I think
Britton.
he's probably looking for at least a multi-year deal, which
Yeah,
maybe is
which
why
I
he
would give
hasn't signed
Chafin
yet.
a 2 year
Give
deal.
him
I don't think
two,
I'd go to
yeah.
three. I don't think so. Maybe like a club option for the third,
Yeah.
but I
Right. I
don't.
wouldn't be handing out like a monster, a mega deal for Andrew
No,
Chafin, but I
but
probably, if it
he would be
took 2 years
really
to get him, I feel like that could be worth it, if not just to see what 23-23 is
good.
like. But I think the thing is, I think what would make me more interested in signing Zach Britton is the fact that they already have several good relievers ahead of him. Like, the Mets wouldn't be signing Zach Britton to be like, we want you to be our closer. They'd be
No.
signing Zach Britton to be like the sixth best reliever or the sixth. Like, there's several people ahead of him in turn on the
Yeah.
depth chart at the moment.
Yep.
So, in some ways, when you think about it that way, he's been the best reliever or the second best reliever on a lot of the teams he's been on. And so, if the Mets are signing him to be behind like Diaz, Ottavino, Robertson, Drew Smith is going to be there.
Brooks
Like,
Raley.
Brooks Raley, like,
Bryce Mantas-Deoca he's going to be a stud, I think, too. He's a young guy, not a lot of people are talking about. I think he's going to be in the bullpen as well. So,
right. And again, that's someone else who he pitched a little bit last year, but again, spring training could be very important for him because if he
yep.
has a great spring training, you know, maybe he makes it as like the eighth guy in the bullpen. There's also Tommy Hunter, who the Mets re-signed on like a minor league deal, I
Yeah,
think,
I love
who,
Tommy Hunter.
like, maybe I like him too much, but I'm like, Tommy Hunter's like actually good. Like,
He's good.
am I wrong? Like,
He'll be at the like the bottom of the
if
depth
he's like
chart
the
at the
eighth
bullpen.
man, all he does is come in, throw strikes, and get outs like every
Yep.
time. I don't know. If
Yep.
he's in the bullpen, like, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I don't think he's
No,
a
their
bad option.
bullpen's definitely in much better shape than it was last year when we just had Joely Rodriguez as our lefty, you know?
Right.
You have David Robertson, who's very good against lefties. You have Brooks Raley, like we just said, and hopefully they go get
So,
one more. And but I
yeah.
think this bullpen's definitely a top five bullpen right now in baseball.
Right. And you know, I think over the course of the last few minutes, I've actually talked myself into Zach Britton more, especially if Chafin signs us elsewhere, because you're right. Like, they're not signing him to be the closer or even the setup man. So if they're signing Zach Britton to be like
But he
another
has the
guy,
potential to like be that guy if you
right?
needed him to be.
But if they're signing him to be like with the expectation of he's another guy, but with the promise of he could be elite, I think you're right. I think that
Yeah.
actually
You see what you have with him in spring training, and
could
if
be
he
worth
doesn't
it.
have it, he's not gonna be making a lot, so you just get rid of him. I mean,
Right.
but if he's got his stuff back, I mean,
I just hope this wouldn't be like if they do sign
he's a
him.
top 10 reliever in baseball if he has his A plus stuff,
Right.
you know.
It could also be another Dellin Betances situation where like there's a reason the Yankees didn't re-sign
Yeah.
him and it's because he's broken.
It could,
So,
but
you know.
it won't be that much of a risk, you know, but that's
Right.
the risk you take. You never know.
The difference
Relievers are so
was
fickle. You never
right.
know. We never know with them.
Right. Well, the difference was when the Mets signed Dellin Betances, it was like a big deal. And if the
Yeah,
Mets
that was
signed
our
Zach
Christmas
Britton,
present.
it would be
Remember
like the 16th biggest deal of the
that?
year. So
Yeah.
that for that reason, I would be in. But
Yeah. So we'll see. But I think they'll definitely, there's definitely a few more moves they're going to make for sure this offseason.
Brett, yeah. Well, we shall see. Yeah, Jake, anything else you want to touch on
No, I'm
before we sign
good.
off?
No, I think we got it all covered.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. As always, you can follow the podcast at Cohen's Corner Pod. You can follow me at NYMFan97, and you can follow Jake at Giblin_Jake. Spring training is just about a month away, believe it or not. So we will be gearing up for the regular season and all of that excitement very soon. Curious to see how the rest of the spring projects. And yeah, we'll have also the WBC coming up in early March. I know I'm excited for that just because I feel like there's so many big stars doing it this year, like even more than in the past. So that should be kind of a fun parallel to spring training this year. And yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. And as always, let's go Mets.